Hello, everyone. Welcome to Wise Women Chat Podcast, a podcast that provides hope, encouragement, godly advice, all while inspiring and empowering. I am Trisha Duckworth. Listeners, we are back again with the second part, part two of Raising Boys. I have the lovely Keisha Wright, who's on the platform. We're ready to dig back in and provide some of the things that we had to experience when raising our boys to be men between Keisha and I. I stated before in part one, so if you haven't listened to part one, you need to go back and listen to Raising Boys part one before you listen to this. It will truly bless you. God has a word just for you for the season that you're in raising boys. Welcome to the platform, Keisha.
Hi, Trish. Hi, wise women.
Glad to have you back. And just like before, we had some good candid conversations about raising our boys. And as we stated in part one, that between both of us, with your four and my three, we have seven males that we birthed out of our womb.
Man, the number of perfection.
The number of perfection between us two. So we have plenty to share, right? We have plenty that we have gone through, that we have experienced. And if you must say so, we may be experts in raising boys. How about that? Now, does that make us perfect in raising boys? Absolutely not. Does that make our boys perfect? Absolutely not. But I can tell you something, listeners. We both have experienced quite a bit in raising sons. So we want to share a little bit about it. We want to talk a little bit about it. We know the inquiring minds want to know about things that we may have gone through with raising our boys that some of the listeners may be going through. Have gone through themselves and just didn't have answers. So not saying me and Keisha had all the answers, because we did have God and have God. Hello. So it is truly a blessing. But Keisha, let's dig in. I am excited about this segment, this topic. I'm excited about learning more from you and you learning more from me. And we're both together making such an impact on some of the that people would want to know about raising boys, right?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, it's Keisha. I read this quote somewhere and I thought it was awesome for such a time as this and for this topic. You're not just raising sons, you're raising somebody's husband.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that. I mean, we're not raising sons. So between us both, we wasn't just raised. We had these boys came out of our wombs.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, it's a boy. It's a boy. It's a boy. We heard that seven times between me and you, right?
Yes.
So we were put in their lives as their mother, but we were called to raise sons.
Mm-hmm.
We were called to raise sons because if God wanted it any other way, he would have provided it, correct?
Correct.
So we are raising someone's husband and we're someone's father. Let's talk about that. What you think about that?
I think the biggest question is how did we do it or how are we doing it? I think that's the... major thing. How are we doing that? What exactly did we do? And I know for me, I'm constantly letting them know their vision. I talk to them about that. I talk to them about why I do the things I do and why I am training them in the way that I train them on certain things when it comes to them being disciplined, them being responsible, and letting them them having responsibility as far as taking the trash out and me not having to tell them that one day you will be a leader of your household and you need to know how to do these things without someone telling you.
Uh-huh.
I have even gone so far because, you know, I'm twice divorced, and people might not agree with me, but I've even told my sons, I just believe in being completely honest, that part of the reason we had problems was that, you know, sometimes if your father would let me down, that's not comfortable for a woman. And I'm not depending on my children, you know what I'm saying? I'm just putting it in their head where they're going and remembering that if you want to be an honorable man, if you want to make your wife happy, just know that if you listen to me now and take on this responsibility now, then it will become easy for you. You know, you'll understand, you know, this is what my mama was talking about, you know? So that's one of the ways that I do. What about you, Charles?
Well, you know what? Just by even reading that off, I've reached the stage in where my life and during the times when they were little, that I did focus more on raising husbands, you know, than raising sons, because this is where I wanted them to become. At some point, they will become, right? So I was focusing more on raising husbands than raising little boys, because we know they won't stay a little boy, right? I taught them how to love, you know. I taught them how to respect. I taught them about leadership. I taught them about, you know, being the head and not the tail. And even though they grew up in a two-parent household, they had their, you know, they had their situations. They got in trouble a lot. So it wasn't just like mom was doing it all the time. Dad was doing it too. But like I said in part one, I was more the disciplinary person. The disciplinary. Okay. Dad rarely disciplined them at all. It was mom. You know, dad was really sorry for him at some point or another, because mom was so, you know, strong-headed on making sure that they're, you know, going the right way, going in the right direction. Pull them back quick if I find that they're not, right?
So, yes, ma'am. I know.
I was very hard on my boys, but I felt, Keisha, like I had to be. That I needed, you know, because dad was also, he grew up three boys in the home, and he was the middle child. And we always wanted to give them something we didn't have. And we weren't sure when we gave them that, or when we introduced them to whatever that was, that they would be good stewards over it. And if I found out at any point in my life that they wasn't, I was going to stand up and tell them that they wasn't. Now, I wouldn't say that I did everything correct. I wouldn't say that, because I did fuss a lot, you know. But, and they shared it as they grew up. They did. But then I speak to them. I communicated to them why I did what I did, you know, why I felt the need to make sure that they were on the right path. And even if I did it in the wrong way, by fussing all the time. We don't want to fuss at our children. We don't. We want to lead them. You know, we want to guide them. We want to make sure that they're listening, you know, because sometimes when you're fussing and hollering, they're not listening. You know what I'm saying? So you want to make...
I like what you're saying in the fact that, and I think that's a key point that you're making, even though you might not have been perfect. Well, because I've been a fusser too, is that we acknowledge it. So even when you might not have done things perfect, when you acknowledge, you know what, I might didn't handle that the best. And then you explain as to why. I think that is just as effective as you just doing the initial, I guess, communication the right way. Because when you've acknowledged, when you have, I guess, hurt someone or have, you know, kind of put them in a state, whatever state we put them in when we're fussing, but when you acknowledge that, you know what, I probably didn't, I might didn't say that right, but guys, this is why I'm doing it. It softens them. and then they become okay. So in other words, for me, it has been important that I did not, what's the word, emasculate my boys, because they all I was a mom. So I wanted to make sure that I didn't strip them of their manhood, or and that I don't make them resent women because they felt like, you know, my mama was so doggone bossy, I ain't listening to no woman. And I've seen that in men. They don't want to listen to a woman. So I had to make sure that times when I probably wanted to put my foot up their tail, I went and found someone to help. You know what I'm saying? Their brothers or whatever. So I think I kind of jumped a little bit, but I guess my main point is how we make our boys feel and making sure that they are that they don't grow up resenting women because of how we handled them as mothers.
Absolutely. That's a good point, because I'm noticing and seeing just by listening to moms who's having difficult times with their adult male, you know, child, they're having difficult times with communicating based on the way they were communicating throughout the process of them developing and growing. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. So now that would make it hard for him to communicate with his wife because of that, you know, because of some mom did. So I think with that, every child is unique and they should be taught so. They should be taught that they're unique. They're different. All of them are different. But look, they inherit values and talents, and they got skills. And, you know, sometimes, like with raising multiple children, having more than one, you would notice the difference, moms. You would notice the difference when how you talk to one child versus another.
Absolutely.
And they come to realize that they are unique. So they should learn. We teach them, you know, to respect, value others. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, this all comes together. You know, it's just like a puzzle. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't know. It's like this puzzle of life. Okay. And we got all these pieces, even when we start having children, we got all these pieces that we need to try to put together and see if it fit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can handle one child differently than the other, right? On what you know about that child, what you see in that child's potentials, because they may be different. When you have multiple. But you got this puzzle of life that you're putting things in order and putting them in place. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't know if it fit unless you tried it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that said, I'll go back to every child is unique and we need to handle them that way and allow them to know that they are unique and they're valued. Okay. And again, it's the way we communicate to them, communicate to our young boys, you know, talk to them. It's not always about yelling. It's not always about raising the voice.
Sometimes
just trying to figure out what is it you want, because we won't know unless we ask.
Yep. And how is it, how important is it? Because I think also I want to deal with the preconceived notion that we have to be so hard on our boys, especially with single mothers, till we don't know when to nurture. They still need that nurturing, because boys have feelings too. And then if we don't teach them how to do that part, here again, it goes back to raising that son to be a husband, to be a father. He needs to learn that. So how important is that to you as well?
It's very important. But even in that, we need to teach them how to lead and not to follow.
Absolutely.
And so they should be trained that way, trained to be competent with leadership. Okay. And they should stand for what they believe in. We need to be okay with them being strong-headed in what they believe in, you know? And then we need to figure it out, talk to them, dissect it, unpack it, you know? Because we want to know. We don't want our child sitting in a room all day and, you know, man all over the place. Mm-hmm. And they'll tell, and we're not communicating or trying to figure out what's going on with that child. And then the next thing you know, this child is out there doing something illegal. Mm. Right? Mm. Right?
Yes, absolutely.
We're not paying attention to what's going on with our child.
Yeah.
You know, so it goes back to, again, teaching them that it's okay to say no and to be different. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because think about it. In the society and the world we live in, even when you're training them up to be a leader and they're taking that to school, of course, all this is before COVID because they were inside the school building, of course, mm-hmm. and they teach this to school. And then you have the other kids teasing and bullying and laughing at them because, you know, they're trying to lead. And they're and even if they're not using the correct words, if they're not speaking the right language, or whatever that means for, you know, children of these days and times when they're in the school building, then they get these bullies and people start laughing at them. We need to teach them it's okay to lead. It's okay to speak up. It's okay to be different. It's okay to be smart. It's okay to read your books mm-hmm. when they're playing around and joking around. It's mm-hmm. okay.
And that's empowering. You know? That's empowering. Yeah, I can't say the word. That's empowering our boys, yes. when you're giving them that confidence, when you're giving them those affirmations, and you're giving them the inner working of being self-confident and knowing how to handle trials and tribulations and not folding and not always feeling like I have to be liked. So what? If somebody don't like you, it's okay. Because a lot of times we start feeling sorry for our kids. You are never, one thing I learned, and I will say this to every mother, I don't care if you're dating your sons, do not feel sorry for somebody. Feeling sorry for someone means that you're saying they can't do any better. You always mm-hmm. keep in a mind frame to empower that person that they can mm-hmm. win, they can do it. You know, I think about mm-hmm. Miles Monroe and how he was considered to be, you know, retarded. He was a straight F student. But when mm. he realized that he didn't have to even depend on the educational system to teach him, he started teaching himself. And Miles Monroe left here a multimillionaire because he changed mm. the way he thought. And the change the way he saw himself. Les Brown was diagnosed as eligibly mentally retarded. But look at Les Brown today. It's all in how we teach them and we empower our children to understand mm-hmm. who they are. And we have to be careful with our mouths what we're prophesying over our children when we're calling them dumb or stupid or you ain't gonna be mm-hmm. nothing. That's a prophecy. Life and death right. is in the power of the tongue. And as mothers, right. please hear us when we say this. Your words have power. If you look at yes. the fact that God used us to birth these children, each and every person on this earth came through the womb of a mother. That says yes. something to me. So therefore, we are yes. the gifter of life. We are the gifter of life, even in our words and what we speak over our children. Our fathers important? Absolutely they are. But as mothers, mm-hmm. when you look at our society, 9 times out of 10, if a father leaves, that mother is still there. And if you are not mm-hmm. healthy and whole, you cannot produce what you do not have in yourself. If you mm-hmm. need... If you need healing, go get it, because your children mm. need that healing. And I kind of jumped on something, but we have to know that y'all, what we're doing out here, it matters. It yes, matters. It and I'm so yes. grateful that me and Trisha are just mothers that have always encouraged one another and talked to one another and, you know, got advice from one another when it came to our boys. And we still do it because we still mm-hmm. deal with issues. And I'm going to say something funny about what happened the other night, but go ahead, Trish. Because I know you can answer that.
We need something funny. Keep that in mind. But I want to touch real quickly on what you said when you said about the healing. Mm-hmm. Healing. And a mom, we're speaking about moms, mm-hmm. and we're speaking about raising boys to be men, raising up our boys, right? And speaking about moms who've been hurt by the child's father. So let's say that dad is not in the home, and the mom has been hurt very badly by the child's father. And then the mom takes it out on the child. And then that child grows up, once again, resenting the mom based on how she spoke with him, because she spoke with him out of being angry,
yes,
with what his dad did to her. But I want to talk to that hurting mom, okay? I want to encourage that hurting mom. So hurting mom, if it's you, or if you know of someone, then you need to pass this podcast segment on to that mom, because this is what I want to say, okay? If you don't heal from what hurt you, you will bleed on those who didn't touch you.
That's right.
And that child should not have to be bled on because you did not properly heal.
Yeah. Okay? I think you need to repeat so that. So I would say, church.
Okay. I heard it somewhere before. I don't know where I heard it before, but I use it so often. If you do not heal from who or what hurt you, you will bleed on those who didn't touch you.
Right.
And that child growing up looking like the dad, or maybe having some of the dad traits, and then it's the way you're speaking to him, the way you're raising him, the way you're training him, which is all negative based on your hurt that you never healed from. And then you have this hurting child that grows up to be a hurting husband and a hurting father. Yes. And then now you have a generational curse because no one got healed.
Oh, come on now. Come on.
So hurt people do hurt people. That is so true. Mm-hmm. So I speak to you hurting moms or dad, if you're listening to this segment, to get help.
Yes.
To heal. That child should not be bled on because your cuts are not healed.
Amen.
Your wounds are wide open.
Yes.
And you can't put a Band-Aid on it. Some of them wounds need surgery.
Yes. Yeah.
So please heal. You should want to heal to have a healthy young boy to grow up to be a healthy husband and a healthy father.
And can we, and I think I said it on the last podcast, we have to understand that the word tells us that my people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge. And it goes on to talk about us rejecting it. And by us rejecting it, our children are being rejected. I'm paraphrasing. And what we have to understand is we can be a Christian. We can be a believer and love Jesus. But the information that we lack could be destroying our families, our legacy, our inheritance. Everything that God has promised us, it could be destroyed. It's promised to you, but if you don't understand that you are, that you don't know how to access the promise, and we are here to help you to access the promise. Every situation, if you're dealing with something, needs to be dealt with. Don't pass that down to your children. They deserve better than that. I've had to deal with some things, and I am very transparent with my children about certain things because I want them to understand why circumstances are the way that they are. And I tell them it was through my lack of knowledge. I didn't know. I didn't understand. I didn't have anyone to teach me. And I'm having to grow up with my boys. I'm having to grow up with you all. And in me saying that, does it mean that my children do not respect me? Not at all. Because at the end of the day, they know who I am. But we have to be honest of where we are and get help. So I like the fact that you brought that up, Trish.
Mm-hmm. And to piggyback on what you're saying, I want the listeners to understand, don't be different from what you're trying to teach your children, whether they're boys or girls. Don't be different from what you're trying Absolutely. To teach them. Because this is mainly because children in general, they tend to mirror what they see rather than listen to what they are told.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking and watching and paying attention. Okay. Yeah. So it is important for parents to walk your talk, allow them to see that. Oh, they will see it because they're paying attention, but walk the talk, walk your talk. To truly raise godly children, you must exhibit the right values. And you need to, and because this segment is about raising boys, we want the right values to be instilled in them, because once again, they're going to take care of family. They're going to be the husband. They're going to be the father, you know? So it's very important. Let them see you pray. I mean, seriously, let them see you pray. And they learn and teach them how to love and respect, like we mentioned in the beginning of the segment.
And one thing that's important too, if we really think about it, if you have raised your son, and if we look at the standard of God holding a man responsible or accountable as the head of a household, and if we have not equipped our sons to take on that role, what have we done? You're having this young man to grow up to be something that he's going to be held accountable for. God will be looking at him as to why he wasn't able to manage his household. And who would God be looking at? And I'm not just saying it's the mothers, because we understand, and I know Trisha probably, you know, mothers are getting upset because they're like, well, that dad ain't here. And we get that. I am personally a single mother. I'm 2 times a single mother. And I can honestly say that I don't carry around bitterness towards their fathers, because what I had to realize was, if I was broken and I'm having to grow up with my children, the men that I dealt with, my 2 ex-husbands were broken too. And broke people do broken things. So I can't hold them to something that they are not equipped to do. Now, yes, do I want things to be better? Do I express how I feel? Absolutely. But until sometimes people grow up, I show them the same grace that God gives me, so that we can all be healed, because this is greater than just my baby dad, my ex-husband. This is about my grandchildren, my great-great-grandchildren. And somebody has to be the interruption in the dysfunction to set order for a new beginning for the next generations to come.
Wow, that's good. That is good. That's good.
And one thing we need to put out here too, Trish and myself are both coaches. We're both definitely mothers. And if anyone needs help, advice, mentoring, well, I don't know. I know Trish's schedule is very hectic, but please, please, please reach out, because I'm sure if neither one of us can help, then there are other people that we can direct you to. But our hearts is to help to heal the hearts and minds of people. I truly believe that's a mandate that I have on my life, that God is rebuilding his church but his church is not the brick and mortar. He's building his church in the hearts and minds of his people. So, and we are here to help to do that. And that's why we do these podcasts, and that's why we talk the way that we do, because we want you to have a safe place to be able to express yourself, mm-hmm. to heal, and know that there is no judgment. We all start from mm-hmm. somewhere, and that we love yes. you. It's no judgment. So go ahead, Trish.
I was going to say, let me say that we all go through something in life, right? It's not always what you mm-hmm. go through, but it's how you choose to go through it. So that said, in raising boys to become men, don't be embarrassed, mother, when you have done everything that mm-hmm. you could, when you made the right choices, you took them to church. I hear so many moms, but I took them to church and I prayed and I this and I that and I taught him and he still went out there and did this, therefore, and the other. Don't you dare be embarrassed. And don't you give up on Absolutely. Him either. Don't you dare give up on him. He's going through his own tunnel, okay? To find himself in another way. And it's okay. It's okay. Okay? It's okay. But don't you give up on him. You keep praying and you keep seeking God for guidance for him. You plead the blood of Jesus over his life. And when you have done all you can do, then you stand and watch the salvation of the Lord. You stay encouraged, okay? Stay encouraged, because there is hope for him. There is hope for him, even if he have gone through the darkest tunnel that he could. As long as he has breath in his body, there's hope. And God can change his situation and turn it around for the good. And he can still turn out to be a great husband and a great father. Absolutely.
Come on now.
So don't give up.
That's right.
So this is what we do here. We love to encourage and provide hope. And like I said before, to empower you all. So listeners, if you don't get nothing out of this, pass it along to someone else. Someone needs to hear this. There's so many of us out here, like I stated before, we all going to go through something in life. And none of us are exempt from not going through. We're going to go through. So we're going to face some times, some tough times. We're going to go through trials and we're going to go through tribulations. We're going to have crisis. We're going to have some situations and some circumstances to face. Okay? But keep your head up. Hold your head up. Look to the Father, the author and the finisher of your faith. He'll see you through, whether you're raising a son or a daughter or raising children, whether you're doing it in a two-parent home, whether you're doing it as a single parent, whether that's the husband or the wife, the male or the female. If you're doing it all alone, you're really not doing it all alone, because you got God. You got God. So allow him to show you what to do and how to do it. He'll do it. That's the kind of God he is. He's a loving God. He sees your struggles. He sees it before you know it's going to come to pass. He sees it already. He knows what's going to happen. He's seen it long before you were even in your mother's womb. So he knew the troubles that you were going to have with the child or with the child's father or with the ex-husband or the husband. It is nothing God don't know, listeners. It's nothing that he don't know. So stay encouraged. There is hope. God has not given up on your situation. So don't you dare give up on God. And please do not give up on that son or that daughter. Got to bring it around. You turn it around for the good. So we here at Wise Women Chat, we always like to leave with a scripture. That's something we do here. We just, again, want to keep you all encouraged, keep you inspired. No matter what you're facing and going through on this earth, God sees it all. He sees it all. And the scripture tonight, or depending on when you're listening, is Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the Hebrews. Don't speak nothing negative over that son. Mm-mm. You speak good. You speak positive. Yes. And you believe. If nobody else around you do, you do. That child, that son, that boy, that male, that daughter, that female is going to come around. And God will be glorified. So I pray you all got something out of this this topic. We did finish up part two of Raising Boys. Thank you all for tuning in and listening. And don't forget to order that book, Morning Glory, a 365-day devotional. It will speak to you in ways, I'm telling you, God blessed me to write it. And I am blessed by reading it on a day-to-day basis. Order your copy today, Amazon.com. Until next time, we'll chat later. Goodbye.